23. Continuity. 1. Edward can no longer bear encountering hallucinatory echoes from the annals in the random moments of his daily life. Out of fear that he will come across these transtemporal doubles, he begins to confine his activities to as small an area as possible: his room, his class, his office, and the library. For food, he orders out. He recognizes, however, that he cannot go on like this. He calls his former psychiatrist. Dr. Green sounds concerned. He suggests that Edward's intense work on the annals has led him to project earlier obsessions onto situations that bear only a coincidental similarity. Edward finds comfort in the doctor's confirmation of his own suspicions. He wants to believe him, but cannot quiet. Dr. Green then urges him to go to one of the public talks that this Tibetan teacher gives quite frequently. He is sure that by seeing the man and his followers face to face, Edward will see how his mind is playing tricks on him. Edward agrees. It takes a few weeks to work up the courage. It is a warm Sunday afternoon in early summer, and Edward walks stiffly up the long staircase amid an excited crowd of long-haired men, some in suits, and patchouli-scented women in outfits ranging from hippie to unconvincing matron. He is surprised how normal it all feels. It's an atmosphere of giddy anticipation, reminiscent of the first days of school. The shrine room, by contrast, is still. Rays of golden light filter in through windows through which he can see the pine-covered foothills nearby. A jarring orange and gold shrine covered with glass bowls stands between the windows. The air smells of incense. A too bright picture of three Buddhas hangs above the shrine. Everyone sits on low cushions. Edward follows and finds a place as far at the back as possible. They all wait for more than 3 hours, and then, with a buzz, the Tibetan teacher enters. He wears a black suit. His attendants are dressed similarly. The scene is otherwise exactly as Edward has found it in the annals. He watches with excruciating fascination. The teacher clears his throat loudly, smiles almost impudently, and begins. The atmosphere becomes strangely intense, as if all the boundaries that enable people and thoughts to keep their history or shape are being shifted. Edward is captivated, but all he remembers of the talk is the high voice saying, "There is no goal. All notions of a goal are just concepts that we use to freeze the motion of reality. We have goals so that we can stop the movement of time. There is only path and the search for a path. We are seeking a path without a goal. There is a secret name for this path. It is called love. It is the path that we must discover and rediscover without end. Thank you." At the end of the talk, Edward feels he absolutely must ask a question. Without hesitating, he stands and raises his hand. The teacher looks at him and nods. Edward begins to speak, but the teacher makes a gesture indicating he should wait for a young woman to bring him a microphone. While he waits, he looks up. The teacher is gazing at him. Edward feels completely alone. When he holds the microphone, his hand shakes. Someone giggles. He has no idea what he is going to say. His voice quivers, but he forces himself to start. "What is enlightenment?" People laugh, but the teacher simply looks at him. Finally, he answers, "A word." "And words change reality?" Edward asks, as if just the two of them were having this conversation. "Constantly." "And memory?" "What is memory? Is that what you're asking?" Edward nods. The teacher takes a long time to answer. Sun is streaming through the windows. "Each instant is filled with echoes, isn't it?" He looks around. "The past is always being, translated, making different links, new contexts. We can't grasp it. The past is so unpredictable. The teacher shrugs and smiles. It is a very simple moment, not dramatic. Edward feels the contradictions that have tormented him momentarily dissolve. He smiles back. He feels that he has been in some impersonal but all-encompassing embrace. He feels at ease. Then others raise their hands. The teacher turns to them.